This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the September 21st For Your Benefit radio show. We're here this morning to talk with Kari Utz Wolski, nutrition and conditioning specialist, CFP, SPN, SSC. Good morning, Kari.
Good morning, Bob. I'm here.
Did I do good?
You did a great job, like always.
Okay. Well, great to have you. We have a number of email questions that came in, knowing that you would have the perfect answer and the like. But let's start out with the outline that we had talked about. So if we're looking at immune system, healthy lifestyle, what do we look at? I won't say first, but what would come? What should come to my mind? Or better yet, what would come to your mind?
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to ask you, Bob. You know, we're going to get through so much today, which is exciting, but you're right. Right now, we've got so many different, forms of extra stress, I would say, and a lot of it we cannot control. And I think that's the first step, is determining what you can control and what you can't control. And don't put much energy and effort into what you can't control, right? Because it ends up just creating more stress. But I've got a ton of things to talk about that we can control, and that's kind of what we need to put our energy into. And I'll tell you, I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing to come on and talk with you, and we always laugh so much. And it's amazing that we're able to do that, because in this day and age with what's going on, a lot of people have kind of forgotten how to laugh. And guess what? That releases endorphins, which improves your immune system. So you actually get a boost in your immune system just by having fun and laughing.
Kari,
so I'm glad that you and I do that a lot when we're talking. But in general, we got to just keep doing that when we can.
Okay. Let's say that somebody falls off the straight and narrow and looks at the darker side of whatever is going on. How do you let's say this person was decently balanced prior to conditions that we all are facing. How do you get that person to get off their straight and narrow onto the right path?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. First of all, Bob, who's not gone down the darker path at some point the past 6 months, right? I mean, our path is no longer light, but we need to find the light again, like you said. So, you know, there's a rainbow at the end of every tunnel. And here's the deal. I think it's important. It's good you said that, because it's important to recognize that you're not the only one going through this. So we're all going through this. We're not alone in this, you know. And what I tell people is, you're going to either pay for your health or you're going to pay for your illness. And man, it's so true now. And so when I say pay, I don't necessarily mean financially, but, you know, mentally, physically, everything, you know, just your body. We need to try to treat our body like a temple and take care of our body physically and mentally, emotionally. And that's what's going to help us get back onto that path of light. So when we talk about some options for doing this, like I said, we can't control a lot of it, but we have to talk about the things that we can control. And what I like to break this into is three different categories. And a lot of people, if anybody that's listening in right now has heard my talks before, they know that I focus a lot on nutrition, exercise, and stress management. And in the stress management part is sleep. So I want to cover some of the more important tips out of those categories that I feel are real important right now. But what you said about the path of darkness, I have to just bring us all onto the same page here, because, you know, if you think about your house, your home, you know, your place of family, whether it's your whole family or, you know, just you, it is your safe haven usually. Well, let's be honest right now. Our house right now is not only, it's not a safe haven. Like, my house right now is my house. It's my business, my husband's business. It's my kids' school. I've got 6-year-old twins who are home learning. And I've got to just quickly, I didn't plan this, but my son is screaming, crying in the background.
He just wants to get on air.
I know, he does. So here's the deal. You know, like usually I'm with you in person right across the desk from you. We can't do that these days. And also I'm usually doing the radio shows when my kids are at home, in the school, you know, and they're not in the school now. And so like a lot of your listeners, we've got kids at home studying school. We've got spouses, or ourselves. Like my house is not just my house now. My house is also a business. It's a school. Let's see. It's a gym. It's a restaurant. I'm probably the head cook. It's a laundromat. I'm the laundromat lady, by the way, Bob. It's a sports camp. It's a playground, much to my husband's dismay. My husband likes to keep the house nice and neat, and let's just be honest, I'm picking my battles. So I can't control that. That's one of those things I cannot control. But if I asked you, what do you find is the hardest for you to control out of your food intake, your food options? And let's just say, Bob, too, because I've asked you this before, but let's put it in today's context, because this has changed based on the pandemic. Is it your food choices, getting regular exercise, or controlling your stress? What's the hardest, do you think?
Controlling the stress.
Yeah, bingo.
Yeah.
And so what's important, yeah, I mean, and most, the majority of people are going to say that, you know, right now, and that's honest. And in my opinion, it's accurate. You know, we have a lot more stress now than we usually do. But the beauty of this is we can't control all of the stressors that are hitting us, but we can definitely control what we do with them and how we handle them. So let's talk for just a couple minutes about some specific tips for stress reduction. Sleep, you know, sleep is so important, and it's harder for people right now because their mind is racing. And I'm not a fan of sleep aids. And I do think there's a place for them for some people temporarily, but a lot of sleep aids block our own body's production of hormones like melatonin that help our body get into a healthy quality, deep sleep. Should you never take melatonin? No, I'm not saying that. Absolutely not. There are definitely nights that maybe you just feel like you need a little help relaxing and getting to sleep. But we can definitely try to limit technology before bed. And we can definitely try to darken our room and our sleep space. And when I say avoid technology, everybody always laughs at me because that's what everybody's doing right now. I mean, the first thing we do when we wake up is we pick up our phone and check it. The last thing we do before we go to bed is read on our phone or our iPad. So they sell these blue light blocking glasses now, and I have them and my kids have them because the kids are on the screens like, what? They're in first grade, but they're on the screens like 6 hours a day, 7 hours a day for school. So they've got these little, you know, glasses that block the blue light, minimize the blue light. So the blue light's stimulating the brain. And if you're reading on a laptop or an iPad or a phone right before bed, it's stimulating your brain. So obviously it's going to be harder to fall asleep. Cut out that, block every light in your room. I don't care if you have to hang a blanket up in front of the windows, you know, cover any little electronics with tape or, you know, a towel or something so that the room should be pitch black when you open your eyes. And that's going to help you with your sleep. Your sleep is so important because it's a recovery time and you really want to aim for 8 to 9 hours. Yeah, some people can get by with 6 or 7. I cannot. I need 8 or 9 or I definitely don't function very well that day. And I need all the help I can get these days. But, you know, another big thing for minimizing the stress on us is to balance it with fun, laughter, and play. And, you know, if I talk about play for myself, safe play that I can do now, you know, that doesn't involve me playing on a soccer field with a bunch of other sweaty people, that's not safe right now. I can do jigsaw puzzles. I love to play the piano. I've played my whole life. You know, and in fact, I was recording pieces and posting them to my Facebook page before the summer, because for the summer months, I don't have a piano at the house that I'm at. And I really, really miss it. And let me tell you how much I notice that it helps reduce my stress. I mean, I can be so wound up, and I'll go sit down at that piano and play for a couple minutes, and it's like it just all flows away. And we all have something like that that we can do. It could be reading a book, watching a funny movie, just not right before you go to sleep, because then the blue light, you know. But going for a walk, you know, some people love to get out in nature. I was fortunate enough to be by a beach this summer, so just going for a walk on the beach, getting my feet in the sand, you know, things that make you feel better. And a lot of times, this includes making others feel better, because did you know that when you make someone else feel better, it automatically makes you feel better? And I think a big issue right now for a lot of people is increased anxiety, depression, just a ho-hum, you know, dark path, like you said, that we're just kind of stuck down that path. Making someone else feel better will make you feel better. And an example that I do is my kids and I love to paint rocks. I paint rocks with like a rainbow, and I'll say smile, and I'll stick it in someone's garden. And a lot of times I don't even tell them I put it there. But if I know the person, I might take a picture of it and, you know, send it to them and say, see if you can find it. Because then their kids get to go on a little treasure hunt in the garden, and they love this, you know? So little things like that can make people feel better. Like, what's something that you like to do that makes you happy that you would consider play?
Oh, crank up the jukebox and pretend I'm young again. I'm serious. I'm serious.
Yeah, I know. Can I get a video of this? yeah, dancing. Like, my kids love doing dance parties. And I'm usually like, another dance party. But then once we start doing it, it makes me feel better. Like, just shake out those fillies, you know? Just even a couple minutes a day of something like this can pick you up and get you out of that that low phase. And I just feel like almost everybody has had a low phase at some point.
Actually, I'm going to read you an email because it's on point with what you're talking about, and then I'm going to say something else. So anyway, here's the email. How am I supposed to have a healthy lifestyle when my children are being schooled at home, my mother moved back in, and I'm teleworking? I've gained weight, and I'm exhausted most days. So what should I consider to help halt the weight gain or get rid of the stress that creates the weight gain? That's a whole show, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And our show is going to cover basically all of that. So directly what we just talked about, like, a lot of that stress can't be helped. You know, there's going to be extra stress. But I'll tell you what this person can do, and we're going to get into this next, is specific things with nutrition and specific things with exercise, as well as some supplementation that I feel is super important for people right now. And these things, although may be difficult at first, after about a week or 2 weeks maybe of a routine, it's amazing how quickly that dark cloud lifts from your shoulders and your head, you know, and then you start to feel better and you have more energy. You know, fatigue is like one of the first signs for our health declining physically or mentally. Extra stress causes fatigue, lack of sleep. Lack of quality sleep causes fatigue, obviously, you know. But we're going to get into some specific nutrition and exercise tips after the break. I know we usually do a break around now.
Exactly.
After the break, I want to go into some nutrition tips, yeah.
Okay, so let's take the break, and we'll listen to the sponsor of the show and what they can do for our listeners.
Life insurance is a conversation worth having. As a civilian federal employee, you have access to exclusive coverage from WEPA, the life insurance choice of over 46,000 feds and their families. With WEPA Group Term Life Insurance, you can apply for up to $1.5 million in portable coverage at a competitive price. Last year, the average Fed who switched saved $375. WEPA is a proud sponsor of For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WEPA has been insuring the future of feds and their families for more than 75 years. To learn more about life insurance for feds by feds, visit WAEPA.org today.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here today talking with Kari Utz-Wolski, nutrition and conditioning specialist, CFT, SPN, SSC, and upbeat, good ideas. Can carry the show without me asking a question, but let's come back to where we were right before the break. Where were we?
We're going to get into a couple of things that we can control better than others that'll help kind of combat this stress. And the reason that this is important is because stress on your body, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, stress causes inflammation in your system. And inflammation will lead to illness down the road at some point. And this is, you know, individual for sure, because some are better able to handle stress than others. And I'm not one of those that handles a lot of stress very well. My husband can handle it a lot better than I. But regardless, at some point, excessive stress on your system, and remember, injury, illness, lack of sleep, poor diet, no exercise or poor exercise, all of these can be stresses. Environmental toxins are stresses. Your body not detoxing correctly is a stress. Your body handles all of this stress basically the same way. Generally speaking, it leads to inflammation. So we're going to try to talk about an anti-inflammatory nutrition plan, and we're going to talk about anti-inflammatory exercise. And then I've got a couple things I want to get into if we get through all this. You know, one of the most important things I would tell people, because I talk a lot about digestion to people when I'm talking about health. And so it's not just picking the right foods, which is so important now and is harder right now, but it's also about your digestion. So a couple things. I want people to get into a habit of taking slow, deep breaths, because no matter what is going on in your world, if you can quiet yourself and just take a deep breath in 4 count and hold it for at least 2 counts and then let it out very slowly for 4 counts. I want you to do that before you eat, because it's so important that you're eating slowly and chewing enough, or your body can't digest the food correctly, and then it's going to lead to inflammation in your gut. And it's important to point out that 80% of your immune production in your body happens in your gut, in your digestive tract. So if you've got digestion issues, or you're eating foods that are toxic to your body or inflammatory to your body, there's no way that your immune system can be firing at its optimal level. That's just the nature of the beast. So deep breathing is super important to slow down that stress response, you know, that we have from all these extra things going on around us. I mean, I have a t-shirt that I got recently, Bob, and this goes in line with laughing. I have to do this so when I look at myself in the mirror, I laugh. It says, Mom, Mommy, Ma, Mama, Mom at the bottom. Because I tell you, I don't go more than 5 minutes, Monday through Friday, from wake up to go to sleep without Mommy, Mommy. Every 5 minutes, I'm upstairs, downstairs, you know, in the ladies' chamber. I'm everywhere. You know, and it's you don't have to be able to just take it. I take deep breaths all the time, and so I know it's super beneficial for you. That's the first thing. The second thing is make sure you're drinking a lot of water. This is so important. First of all, one of the first symptoms of dehydration is fatigue. And I think we're all feeling extra fatigue, so we've got to be drinking plenty of water. A good rule of thumb is about half your body weight in ounces. So a 200-pound person would drink 100 ounces of water a day, and it feels like a lot, sounds like a lot. It's a lot, but that helps your body cleanse and detox. And your cells need that water so they are like raisins, not like raisins, so that they're like grapes, you know? They want to be shriveled and dehydrated like raisins. So we need to be drinking enough water. And things that count for water are non-caffeinated items. Juice counts, but I prefer not to do a lot of added sugar. And I'm going to talk about that in a sec. Caffeinated, decaffeinated teas, decaffeinated coffee counts, club soda counts. So we want to try to drink as many fluids as we can. We also want to make sure that in line with eating an anti-inflammatory diet, that we're also eating a diet high in fiber, because we want to be getting at least 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day. And this is easy to track just for a couple days if you want to just ballpark where you're at, because you can look up almost all foods now online and get the calorie counts and the nutrient counts and see how much fiber is in it. And you want to aim for 25 to 35 grams of fiber a day. This also helps with detoxing and, you know, a sense of satiety and fullness. And this is important right now because we just have a lot of toxicity in our world, and we want to make sure our body is not carrying that around.
Can I ask you a question?
The other thing, absolutely.
100 ounces of water. Now, if I were to look at a quart bottle, how many quart bottles would I have to drink of water to hit the 100 ounce?
About 3.
Okay.
So that's 32 ounces in the quart. So, you know, about 3 would get you right up to 96, and that's pretty good in my mind.
Okay. Thank you.
So, aim for 3. And, you know, it's going to seem like a lot at first, but after a week of doing that, you're going to notice that you're not hydrating enough when you don't do that. Make sure you're near a bathroom initially, Bob, because you're going to, when you first start filling yourself up with all those fluids, you're going to need it.
Well, I'm always near one.
That's good. The other thing too is, and this is hard right now because we kind of rely on cravings and foods that bring us back to the safeness of childhood, but sugar is toxic. We have got to eliminate as much sugar as possible. Sugar is toxic in your system. Sugar directly decreases your immune function. And I'll give you a specific example. If you had a bender one day and you took in, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 times the amount of sweets that you usually do, and you were exposed to, you know, to a cold or a virus, you have a much higher chance of getting that cold or virus than fighting it off because your immune system was decreased. Anybody that has chronic viral situations can probably attest to this, that if they eat a lot of sugar, they are more susceptible to having a flare-up from one of these viruses. Autoimmune conditions too. You know, my mom has rheumatoid arthritis, and if she has more than a pinch of sugar, her joints act up. You know, it's a direct correlation and causation. And, you know, we can't always say that correlation equals causation, but with this situation, it does. So we've got to try to eliminate extra sugar. And I'm not talking about a little honey in your tea or a little bit of sugar in your coffee or some fruit each day. You know, I'm talking about those of us like you and I who maybe have a likeness towards gummy bears or Swedish fish or something. I was talking to somebody recently and, you know, he was asking, what's something you think of that, you know, you've been craving more lately that reminds you of childhood? Swedish fish. Like I won't eat them all day long, but I could, you know, I love Swedish fish, but the amount of sugar in that, not to mention the food dye and all the other stuff, just so bad for us. So yeah, it's hard. And I'm not saying, like I tell people 80% of the time, try to follow strictly the foods that are healthy and anti-inflammatory. And then 20% of the time, you know, have some sweets and let yourself enjoy the things you've been craving. And that stands true, you know, in this scenario. But for the most part, we want to try to eat whole, real foods that nature made, not processed foods that man made. And this can take a couple weeks to you know, get into a routine with if you haven't been doing it. And I know a lot of people have been, you know, relying more on takeout or processed packaged stuff just for the convenience. We don't have the energy or focus to cook a lot of food, but if we can just try to 80% of the time, you know, try to make your own food. We want to try to do anti-inflammatory foods and some superfoods too to help boost your immune system. Superfoods would be things like eggs, organ meats, bone broth. You can make your own bone broth, but a lot of stores sell some nice organic bone broth. Raw nuts and seeds, anything real colorful like fruits and vegetables with all those different colors, sauerkraut, fermented foods. Coconut products, believe it or not, are a huge immune booster. The type of fat in coconut, which is a saturated fat, is a healthy saturated fat. It's antiviral and antibacterial. Coconut oil can be cooked to a high temperature. Everybody go out and get some coconut oil. Use it when you can. And coconut milk, too, when you can use that. The coconut water is a healthy fruit, but it's a carbohydrate as opposed to the fat. We also want to try to be doing green tea every day because the compound ECGC in green tea actually helps your body absorb certain immune-boosting supplements, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. So we want to try to be eating these superfoods and avoiding the highly processed foods, the sugars, things like high fructose corn syrup, fried fats, fried foods. A lot of the vegetable oils, unfortunately, aren't super healthy for us because they have been heated to a high temperature. They become toxic. And then preservatives, artificial flavors, colors, a lot of the genetically modified foods. Genetically modified foods, Bob, are illegal in many countries. So we want to just be careful that we're eating things that are whole and we know where they're coming from. And with animal meats, you know, it's only as healthy as the animal was. So grass-fed, organic, free-range. And we want to try to focus on these things as much as we can. I would love for everybody to have like 4 different cups full of different vegetables every day. 4 servings of vegetables every day. And people say, well, how do I do this? Here's how I do it. Because sometimes I have to, you know, cheat the corners a little bit. I have a greens powder that has all of the nutrients you want to get from greens. And I put that in something in the morning, even if it's just warm lemon water with greens powder in it, and I chug it down. It's not delicious. I'm not going to pretend it is. But I feel healthier for having suffered that drink. I feel like it did good things for me. So that's one serving right there. And then the other 3 servings, and I try to get more, but at least 3, one of them is going to be a salad somewhere in the day with lots of dark leafy greens. One of them is going to be a baggie full of cut up, prepared, you know, pre-cut up raw vegetables, and it's ready to go. So if I have to just grab it out of the fridge, I don't have time to cut it up. I do it the night before. Carrots, celery, cucumbers, peppers, snap peas, snow peas, things like that. And then I get a serving of either sauteed spinach or steamed broccoli or asparagus, cauliflower, something like that. You know, vegetables are so important for us right now. They've got so many minerals, nutrients, and such. I try to eat a lot of healthy fats like avocado and nuts and seeds, coconut oil, olive oil. I do take a fermented cod liver supplement, and I recommend that to anybody I talk to. It's anti-inflammatory, so try to get a fermented fish oil. Krill oil is good too, a fermented krill oil or cod liver oil. And then healthy fruits and vegetables, you know, and healthy animal meats, you know, healthy eggs and healthy grass-fed beef and things like that. And
could I ask a question?
Okay, fine. I can stop a sec.
No. So I'm listening and I'm going, how does somebody get off the bad train onto the good train? So in other words, there were an awful lot of different, very good ideas, but let's say we're dealing with somebody that wouldn't know grass-fed from whatever. How do you ease them into a healthy eating habit?
Oh, that's a great question, Bob, and I'm glad you asked that because you're right. I mean, I have a ton of experience with this, so to me it's so routine, but to others it's not. One meal a day, and ideally the first one. start your first meal of the day as healthy as you can. And that sets you up to do better the rest of the day. Look, if you start your day with some Dunkin' Donuts, nothing against Dunkin', any donuts. If you start your day with donuts, with your coffee, instead of, you know, healthy scrambled eggs, you know, some healthy free-range chickens that made these eggs, you know, some fruit. Maybe you put some spinach in your eggs. If you start your day with that, you're going to feel better.
How about,
you know, you're not going to have the sugar crash.
How about cereals? I mean, let's say it's not the sugary cereal, but one that I don't want to use the name.
High fiber?
Yeah, it's high fiber and it's healthy, but what do I look at? Do I look at the side of the box to see, well, how much of this other stuff is in there?
Yes, yes, yes. Man, in the best case scenario, there's more fiber than straight sugar, than added sugars. But yeah, you can look at the side of the boxes and you can compare a higher fiber cereal to something that's super sugary, and it'll give you an idea of what you want and what you don't want. You want the lower amount of sugar you can get, ideally under 6 grams of sugar, maybe 8 grams of sugar per serving, under that. And you want at least 5 grams of fiber per serving. And next time you're in the supermarket, just, you know, pick a couple and compare them. And I usually try to go with whole grains when you can. They're less processed, you know, especially like a hot cereal. Now that we're getting into the colder weather, like oatmeal, oats are great for you. You know, they're high in fiber. They've got a lot of nutrients. Oatmeal is a great way to start your day. And you can put some nuts in there, some slivered nuts and some berries. That's one of my favorite breakfasts. Either that or a lot of times I'm rushing. And so I have hard-boiled eggs that I either buy at the store hard-boiled or I hard-boil them myself. That latter hasn't been happening so much lately, but I'll take a couple hard-boiled eggs and I'll just put a tiny bit of nut butter, like peanut butter or almond butter, on them. And I'll have some fruit on the side and I'll have my coffee and I'm good to go. And I feel great and I'm satiated and I'm not hungry again for 3 or 4 hours. So, you know, there's better bad choices with some things. And so if somebody just felt like they were really at the furthest end of the spectrum on this, I would suggest that they start by, you know, if they love cereal and it happens to be a real sugared one, next time try to pick something that's got a little more fiber and a little less sugar, and start to get, you know, on your way to more of a high fiber and whole grain type of cereal, you know. That was a good question, though, because I know that I do get that a lot when I work with people one-on-one. They just don't know where to start. And go back to whole foods, you know, try to eat fruits and vegetables, healthy animal products, and healthy fats. Like I said, avocado, some of the healthier olive oil type, coconut oil, and nuts and seeds and things like that. And I mean, if you were doing that, you're well on your way to loading your body up with antioxidants and such. And after our next break, I want to talk a little bit about exercise and some supplements that I think would really help people. So
okay,
we'll get into that after the break.
All right, let's take a break, but I've been busy writing notes. I don't know that I can read what I wrote. So you had a lot of to-the-point comments regarding food. When we come back, is there a book or is there something we should look out for daily consumption, et cetera? But let's listen to what NITP can do for the listeners, and then we'll come back and we'll give people things that they could read.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Well, here we are, the final leg of the show with Kari Utz-Wolski, nutrition and conditioning specialist. Great ideas on what we should consume versus what we really do consume. And now we're heading into the home stretch. And take us to the promised land.
Yeah, let's try to do that, right? You asked before the break about, online references or a book, something like that.
Yes.
And I have a few go-to websites that I like to use. The owners of these websites happen to have both written some great books on anti-inflammatory diets. But the thing is, I don't know that people have time to read a book right now about it. No, I wouldn't. I've got so many books, Bob, that I'm trying to get to, and I just am like, when am I going to do that? Specifically, how to parent without yelling, you know? Holy. But there's one website that is, or you could just Google this functional practitioner's name. It's Chris, and it's spelled like you'd think, C-H-R-I-S. And the last name is Kresser, K-R-E-S-S-E-R. And the second person is Rob Wolf, and it's R-O-B-B, Wolf, W-O-L-F. They've each written a book on a type of diet called paleo diet. I'm not saying everybody has to follow a paleo diet, but if you did try it for like a 30-day period, you would improve so many health conditions. It's such a great anti-inflammatory diet. But even if you're not doing specifically paleo, and some of the more common inflammatory foods we could try to avoid or at least limit would be sugar. Some people have problems with gluten, which is a wheat protein, so you would avoid wheat type of foods for a little bit. Dairy can be very inflammatory in people. I used to have a problem with it. Cow dairy was horrible for my system, but I could do goat or sheep versions of dairy. But now, since I've kind of worked on how to, over the years, I've worked on how to avoid inflammation or limit inflammation, I can handle cow dairy again and I'm fine. But for some people, that can be pretty inflammatory. So can soy, sugar. I'll just keep saying that one every few foods, sugar. Alcohol can be inflammatory, and I know this is tough for everybody right now. I think there's more of a dependence on it. But I would just say to try to limit it. I think our body can handle a little bit of inflammation from different foods. But if we're depending on a certain food like sugar or alcohol or whatever it might be, then we need to try to take a step back and get back to some of the deep breathing, maybe even meditation, things to help us kind of reduce the stress effect on our body. But what I wanted to get into, Bob, I'm going to kind of jump over to exercise for a minute. And then I want to get back to the supplement form of nutrition, because I think there's a place right now for some specific additional antioxidant type of supplements, as well as a couple supplements that will help our digestion function a little bit better, which, again, overall helps our immune system. So, you know, my opinion with exercise right now, it's a must do. And I know this is hard for people because it's a time commitment, but it doesn't have to be. I'm going to tell you guys a couple of ways that you can do 5 to 10 minutes of exercise a day and have the benefits from it for optimal health. For one, walking in general is anti-inflammatory and stress reducing. And it can also help with all the physical aspects of exercise people usually focus on, like leaning out and losing fat. But getting outside if you can, and just trying to get some fresh air. And if you can get into some form of nature, like the woods or a beach or something, even better, because when you connect with nature, it kind of brings you back to the center. It is important, though, right now to be doing something for exercise. And with a lot of gyms closed or people not comfortable going there, you don't even need equipment. You can do push-ups, and these can be abbreviated types of push-ups, modified push-ups, like against a wall so you're elevated. Or you can do push-ups on the floor, but on your knees instead of your feet to make it a little bit easier. But if you did like 10 push-ups and then you flipped over and did 10 sit-ups or crunches or even held a plank on your forearms and your toes with your body straight, as long as you could hold that plank. And then you did, let's say, 10 squats or lunges for your lower body. And this could be sitting back into a seat and standing back up if you're not comfortable with squats on your own yet. You know, you could do 10 push-ups, 10 crunches or a plank, and 10 squats. And initially, you got to start slowly if you haven't been doing this. But at the further end of extremity, like if you've been exercising a lot, do 20 of each as fast as you can, keeping good form. Your heart rate's going to get up, and you're going to be working cardiovascularly and strength training. And then take a little break after that circuit and do that 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. I don't care. Do it 10 times. If you're really fit, that is a fabulous full body workout, strength training, resistance, and cardiovascular. And you could do this 2 or 3 times a week, and you are going to be having an awesome exercise program. Throw in a couple walks for 10, 15, 20 minutes, or go for an hour if you got the time. So I just feel like people need to do something. The other thing, too, is if you have trouble getting motivated to do it, I tell people just get up 15 minutes early, put your sneakers on, and go outside. Just right. Start. Because once you start walking, like, were you going to ask something?
I got an email. This is a pretty good email, I think, anyway. If listening to what you've been talking about, besides being healthy, does it fight the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, because if you're boosting your immune system, you're giving yourself, you know, a weapon against it. So, yeah. And in my own personal opinion, masks are important because we're not spreading germs as much. In fact, I think the flu season is going to be less of a threat this year because of everybody that is wearing masks, protecting people. But yeah, because if you're eating healthy, you're giving your body the nutrients you need to fight a virus when it hits you. And if you're exercising, your body is also healthier to do this. And if you're sleeping well and trying to limit stress, when you have that stress of a virus hit you, you can better fight it off, either avoid it altogether or fight it off quicker. But, you know, let's go into some supplements that we can be taking that also help boost our immune system because, let me go back a step. You know, there's a lot of articles coming out about what the health underlying health conditions are that are causing a higher risk for the COVID-19 virus. And there's a lot of back and forth on it. And I'm not, and we don't know a lot about this virus, to be honest. So I take it with a grain of salt. But one thing I can tell you that is fact is a lot of these underlying health conditions are also linked to obesity. And unfortunately, 30%+, a third of our population or more is considered obese. So that's one of the main risk factors. So let's get fit with nutrition and exercise. And then we're going to be able to handle this virus better if it does hit us, if that makes sense. But, you know, some supplements, Bob, specifically, we need to boost our antioxidant intake. And we're going to get this if we're eating some of the healthy foods I talked about, like the rich, dark colors of berries, you know, the different colors of vegetables, avocado, animal proteins, if we're not a vegetarian or a vegan. And if we are, you can balance your different nuts and seeds and grains to get the full amino acids that you need, that you would get from animal proteins. Nuts and seeds, you know, things like this. But I do feel there's a place for a supplementation on things like vitamin C. Vitamin D has been shown to reduce the outcome of COVID, fewer ICU patients, fewer deaths, vitamin D, as well as zinc. So I mentioned something earlier, and that is that green tea extract helps your body absorb some of these nutrients. Specifically, zinc is absorbed better with not just green tea extract, but also an anti-inflammatory supplement called quercetin. So quercetin, it's Q-U-E-R, quercetin, is a very good supplement to be taking now. It's an antioxidant, and it helps us absorb zinc. The thing with zinc, Bob, is that our body can't store it, so you have to get enough zinc every day. And if you're not getting it from foods like avocado, berries, animal proteins, nuts, all have high zinc, which a lot of us are eating, you know, green leafy vegetables, great. But if we're not eating enough of it or not absorbing and digesting it well, then we're not storing enough to help us. And zinc is so important because it reduces inflammation and it halts replication of virus cells in the body. Think how important that is right now. It also reduces stress, depression, and things like fatigue that all of us probably are kind of talking about now. So we want to try to supplement with zinc. The thing is that you don't want to take more than about 150 milligrams of supplementation a day. 150 milligrams is about the most that you would want to take, because anything over that is could cause, you know, excessive amounts of zinc that, you know, your body may just not flush out that well. But again, take things like vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, green tea extract to help absorb the zinc when you're taking it. Any questions on that, what I just went over? Because I've got a couple of more supplements that would help us before we end our show today.
Well, yes, and this is an email to this point. I think telework has been a big problem in gaining weight. One is sitting down for hours at a time, and the refrigerator is next door. What one needs is to go to the gym and go running. And then the comment was, but I know that's not easy. So let's take somebody that's maybe that profile, but they haven't gone to the gym and they want to cut back. How do they ease into cutting back?
Well, I would, first of all, I would increase exercise first, because it's going to help you feel better. And the easy way to do this is set a timer, either at the top of every hour or whatever works for your schedule. And when that timer goes off, do 10 squats and 10 push-ups against a wall or on the floor if you're able to. And if you get into a habit of adding that additional exercise in, it's not only going to make you feel better, but it's going to help start to lean you out and kind of combat the inflammation you may have added from maybe excessive processed foods or sugars that we've been doing. But, you know, on that note, I have to also mention with digestion, because a lot of us are having extra digestion problems because of the added stress, try to take an enzyme which helps your body digest and absorb the foods better and the nutrients better. And I have a brand I can tell you, no affiliation with the brand. It's just one that I like. And also a probiotic is super important, because that helps replace the good bacteria in our gut, and that helps us boost our immune system. I mean, exact causation. So take the probiotic and take the enzyme for a little bit so you're digesting food better. I love the brand Claire Labs, and it's K-L-A-I-R-E. Claire Labs has a great probiotic, and it includes a prebiotic, which is the food that feeds the probiotic, and also an enzyme to help your digestion. And the brand I like for that is Now, N-O-W, and it's Now Foods, and it's called a superfood enzyme. And I think those are a couple of real important supplements that we could all be utilizing now, in addition to the fish oil that I mentioned earlier. So the combination of trying to eat real whole foods, eat more vegetables. You know, when you're craving sugar, it's a craving. It's going to pass. You know, drink water, have some vegetables, have a piece of fruit. Go outside and walk around the house 3 times, and I bet you that sugar craving passed, and you're going to feel so much better just mentally, like proud of yourself by fighting it. It just takes 1 time a day, and then next thing you know, it's 3 days later, and you're improving 3 different things with your nutrition and exercise.
Okay, let me get
so
this
it's
right.
It's about taking that first step.
Let me get this right. So a donut is calling me, or ice cream is calling me. And I say, nope, I'm going to walk around the house. No, I'm being serious with this. And that would tend to lessen my craving for what awaits me when I'm done with walking the house.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And here's why. It breaks that train of thought and it changes the routine, because a lot of these, you know, whether it's a dessert every night or too many drinks every night or whatever, it's a habit. It's habitual, and we need to break the habit. I can break an ice cream habit by just swapping it out for, you know, some healthy yogurt with a little peanut butter mixed in, and it tastes kind of like a pudding. And honestly, I don't even miss the ice cream. It's about replacing that sweet treat with either a food that kind of gives you the same habit still, or just break the train of thought by moving on to something else. And when you come back in, you just missed it. You just skipped, you missed the window to have it. And you're not going to, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to work every time. Bob, did we talk about sticky notes around the house before? Put the sticky note up on the freezer that says, you know, get write down what your replacement's going to be for your ice cream. And then you're going to see it. And that's going to remind you, okay, I can do this. I got to be strong. Put a sticky note next to your bed that says smile. Every morning you wake up, force the smile. That actually makes you feel better.
Okay.
Sticky notes around the house to remind you.
Andrew's smiling,
too.
We're both smiling, but Andrew's also saying he's giving me the two-minute warning.
Okay. Are we at the end of the 2 minutes, or have we just started?
We have one and a half minutes.
Okay. So, but I'm serious about the sticky notes, because we're in such a habit of doing things a certain way that if you can put a sticky note up, you know, what I do when I'm feeling down or depressed or anxious, I think of three things that actually do uplift me, that make me feel better. I mean, it could be a funny joke. It could be something I'm grateful for. We all have something we are grateful for, even if it's just that we are here alive today and able to walk around the room or listen or, you know, talk to people. Think of something you're grateful for. Think of something you want to focus on, more vegetables, and put these sticky notes around the house where you'll see them. Remind yourself 10 push-ups. You know, every time you see that sticky note, you do 10 push-ups, you know, or 10 squats. And these reminders will help keep you on track. And like I said, it's just about getting into a new routine of including these healthier choices. And it's a little bit at a time, you know. One healthy choice leads to two, leads to three, and next thing you know, you're coming out of this. And Bob, I'm going to end with, you know, something that I have on the rocks I paint and the shirts that I wear, and it says kindness matters. And, you know, in this world, in this day and age, I think we have to be kind to not just others, but we have to be extra kind to ourselves.
Well, Kari, thanks for being kind to all the listeners and yourself. I can't wait for the next time you're on. Thank you,
too,
very
Bob.
Much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
All
bye
right.
Bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.
We're in a period of rapid change, and sometimes it can feel like things are spinning out of control. With political tensions, anxiety, and loneliness rising, and questions about how to live a good life on everyone's mind, finding answers can seem harder than ever. For millennia, spiritual thinkers have offered wisdom and tools to help people find their way in trying times, advice that even a scientist like me, Dave DeSteno, is finding have a lot to offer. To join the conversation, look for How God Works wherever you listen to podcasts.